work out the time for the confessions. Was today Wednesday? Was it the day for confessions? Please. We'll have to figure out some kind of a schedule. Our present meditation is on the parables as the school of Christ. The parables as the school of Christ. One of my hopes as the fruit of this retreat is that you people will get into the habit of making at least, say, a 15-minute or more, of course, meditation every day. Mental prayer is necessary for growth in the spiritual life. And one of the most easily available and effective sources of mental prayer are the parables of Christ. Depending on how you classify parables, my own list has 72 parables in the four Gospels, some short, some long. What I'd like to do in our present meditation is to cover four areas. First, the parables are Christ's characteristic way of teaching and speaking to people who are, most of you I understand, involved in teaching. The parables of Christ provide both content for teaching and a pattern, a pedagogy, and how to teach. Then, just shortly, why did Christ use parables? The parables were his principal way of teaching. Thirdly, what's the value of parables? And finally, some implications for our own personal lives. First then, the parables were Christ's characteristic way of teaching. There are two passages that I have, one from Matthew, one from Mark, that bring this out. Matthew chapter 13, verses 34 to 35. This is now the evangelist reflecting. All these things Jesus spoke to the crowds in parables. And without parables, he did not speak to them. What was spoken through the prophet might be fulfilled. I have opened my mouth in parables. I will utter things hidden since the foundation of the world. Unquote Matthew. What then is a parable? A parable is a story which not only illustrates but expresses a profound mystery. We've been saying that the mysteries of our faith before revelation are rationally inconceivable. And even after being revealed, they are rationally incomprehensible. That's a mystery. Well, if something is rationally inconceivable before revelation and rationally incomprehensible after revelation, how do you get the mysteries across? The principal way that Jesus used was through parables. The second quotation is from Mark's Gospel, chapter 4, verse 34. Says Mark, without a parable, Jesus did not speak to them, but privately, watch this, that privately he explained all things to his disciples. In other words, the evangelists distinguish between the multitude and the disciples. And just for the record, I believe I'm here speaking to the disciples. And I further believe that those to whom you speak are, in gospel equivalent, a multitude. There's a difference. The disciples also heard the parables. But then Christ, in out of his way to explain the parables. Everyone, no matter how uneducated, gets something out of a story. But behind each parable, which, for us, is Christ's principal form of pedagogy, Christ then taught the multitude through parables, but then the disciples he instructed so that they might explain the parables to the people. Second area of reflection. Why did Christ use parables? First, the text. This is in Matthew's Gospel. The disciples came up and said to him, that's to Jesus, why do you speak to them in parables? And he answered and said, to you it is given to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it is not given. What's the explanation? It is the mystery of God's selective providence. Each person is meant to grasp as much as he can. There is a need, therefore, for teachers in the church to explain the parables. That would be a good description in my vocabulary of a teacher of religion or a catechist. He or she is the person who explains the parables of Christ. We might also point out, before we go on, that Christ chose parables because the people that he spoke to, depending on the numbers, thousands sometimes on a single occasion, no two of them have the same background, the same intelligence, the same capacity for perceiving what Christ meant to communicate. Everyone is meant to get something from Christ's teaching, but our responsibility is to help people to grasp and to penetrate, to make sense of what they are told is true. Number three, the value of parables. I have 9 items here. You may wonder, Father, we appreciate what you're telling us, but I never took the parables, you might say, all that seriously. Well, not a bad idea to start. When I finished my graduate studies in Roman theology, came back to the United States to teach my Jesuit confreres. I discovered you need a second vocation to teach Jesuits. They're not spontaneously teachable. So, before classes began, I consulted with an old veteran Jesuit who knew his theology. So I said, would you have any suggestions for a novice in the field of theology on how to, teach effectively? He said, sure. Tell you what, if you want to become a good teacher, you cultivate the art of illustrating and exemplifying everything you teach in theology. It was 1951. I can't believe it. Illustrate, exemplify. Isn't that the parables of Christ? Now back to the parables. This comes in 9 pieces. It's on the subject of value of parables. First, everyone can learn something from each parable. And as teachers, I recommend developing the art of teaching by example. I don't mean just your own personal lives. Better word would be examples, by illustration. There's more depth here, pedagogically, than you may suspect. The moment you begin to speak in abstract or theoretical terms, you'll lose a lot of people. But you talk about human life situations, illustrate, exemplify. And may I recommend, if I haven't already, start gathering modern parables. Am I making sense? Mind you, this is Jesus Christ, the divine teacher. Can't lose by following his pedagogy. That's numero primo, number one. Second, the truths of revelation, thus communicated by Christ, who saw intuitively what he was teaching. In other words, the parables that Jesus used contain the truths, not only because the words he used express those truths, but Christ saw the meaning of what he wanted to communicate. And this is something that we too, without being theologically trained or sophisticated, there was such a thing as grasping an idea just because it is formulated in words that everybody can identify with, namely, a parable. Number three, Christ's parables are not subject to speculative interpretation. The parable of the prodigal son and 71 others, some very short. The parable of the vine and the branches. Now, by now, volumes have been written analyzing the theology. But the parables are not subject to the danger of intellectuals speculating, philosophizing. The parables of Christ are meant to be put into practice. And whatever you do as teachers, either You train those whom you are teaching to live their faith, or you have not really taught them. Number five, or still number four. The parables are not expressed in vague or ambiguous abstractions. Number five, every single parable is susceptible of infinite penetration of meaning. There's much, much more depth in the few words expressed in a parable than most people realize. Number six, the parables correspond to our primary way of learning from actual sense experience. We learn from experience, and the parables that Christ used, he didn't have to learn, but he used experience, his own, to communicate. And I want to stress what I mentioned before, and we'll come back to this again, because I trust I'm talking to the right audience. The mysteries of faith are to be understood, otherwise they're useless. The only way that we can come to understand whatever the mystery is that Christ wants to reveal to us except for parables, we could not have any grasp or understanding. That's a large statement of who Christ is and what he wanted to teach us. A mystery, by definition, as we've been saying, is rationally inconceivable before being revealed and incomprehensible after being revealed. But mysteries are not unintelligible. They are to be understood. What are we saying? If we're going to understand our faith, it is especially in understanding the parables, what lessons Christ wanted to teach through his parables. All I can tell you, and I've been teaching, already identified it, 1951, that's 40 years of teaching theology. If only teachers would take this seriously. In other words, we grasp as much depth of meaning from Christ's teaching as we understand the parables that he taught. Okay. Number seven. The parables provide for the role of the Holy Spirit to open up the meaning and application of the revealed truth. The language is very simple. As I've been telling my students over the years, the vocabulary of the whole Bible, Old and New Testament. Would anybody know, when teaching, say, English literature, what is the vocabulary of Shakespeare? About how many vocables? It's over 15,000. That is the number of distinct words that Shakespeare uses. The vocabulary of the whole Old and New Testament, in terms of page content, about the same. You know, a complete Shakespeare and the whole Bible. Oh, by the way, are there any books from the Catholic Bible missing in the Protestant Bible? Oh, you better know that. Tell your Protestant friends are being shortchanged. But the whole Bible, Catholic Bible, about the same size in terms of, say, word content. The whole Bible, Old and New Testament, has less than 5,000 words. Do you hear me? Hamilton, as my memory tells me, is even worse than Shakespeare. He's got more than 15,000. Am I making sense? The Holy Spirit wanted to make sure he would reach everybody, even people who have less than a 5,000 word vocabulary. And the parables illustrate the pedagogy of the Holy Spirit. Here, Christ communicating the wisdom of God. The ocean depth of truth that he said had not been revealed since the foundation of the world. My gosh, you would think he would use the Greek equivalent of the unabridged dictionary. He didn't. Listen, it is not how many words you use when you teach. Listen, it's how well you know the meaning of the words that you use. And secondly, in the light of what we just said, it depends on how closely you are united with God. The more closely you are united with God, he will use your very simple vocabulary. And nowadays, it wouldn't even have to be nowadays, but surely nowadays, the Catholic vocabulary of many Catholics is very meager. I hope you agree. Number 8. The parables of Christ provide for the role of the church to give the authentic interpretation. Because I was teaching the subject, had occasion to count the number of meanings, that Christ gives to the single word world in Greek cosmos, the number of meanings that in St. John's Gospel Christ gives to that one word, I counted 14 different meanings. I've taught for too many years. I've taught too many teachers not to know. Some people make the very foolish mistake of thinking they're growing in knowledge because they increase their vocabulary. Two questions. Are all educated people intelligent? Are all educated people intelligent? Please say no. Next question. Are all intelligent people educated? No. My mother had less than 6 years of education in Europe. She was a shepherdess, and even that was just part-time. She was a very intelligent person. Oh, what a mask for intelligence, vocabulary, our words can be. It's knowing the meaning. Am I making sense? All you can do when you teach is to, well, use words and other people pick up words. But it's the Holy Spirit who must be teaching through you. And he knows far better than you do. Well, those whom you are teaching need to know. And that is why, and this is Ignatian spirituality at rock bottom. Our growth in sanctity, our becoming more virtuous, more humble, more patient, more prayerful. The purpose, there's a purpose. Our own sanctity is to be a means to an end. What's the end? That we might be used by the Holy Spirit as effective channels of His grace. Here, effective channels of His grace of the faith. We're talking about parables. Let's not be scandalized by the simplicity of Christ's language. He's not in memorizing a lot of big words. You've got to use some words, otherwise we couldn't talk. It is the depth of meaning that we have of what we're saying and our own nearness to God that then He will use us. It isn't how many words we use when we teach. It is the depth of meaning that we have in what we teach and our depth of union with God who then will use us. Okay. Number 9. Provide for the role of each believer to derive as much wealth of meaning as that person's humility, sinfulness, sinlessness, docility, and generosity allows God to confer. We're talking about parables. The parables provide for the role of each believer. You get as much out of the parables as you are humble, sinless, docile, and generous. Okay? Now some implications. I have 5. First, the parables are meant for all time, including 1991. Use them, know them. Who is officially in charge of this group? Is it Father Mendenhall? Or are you kind of in charge? Kind of in charge. Now you'll have to remind me. I should be back for a week from the 20th to the 26th of January in Detroit. And having taught parables as a means of teaching, it's about a 23-page synthesis of using the parables to teach. If you track me down, I'll send a copy, then I would request that everybody here get a copy. Okay? I repeat, Christ is our principal teacher, and the principal way that He taught was parables. Do you have the expression kids stuff in Canada? The parables are not kids stuff. They are scandalously simple. I repeat, Christ's main way of teaching, number one, parables meant for all time. Secondly, the parables are our principal source of Christ's teaching. If you're going to teach the faith, you better teach Jesus Christ. A new world. Parables meant for all time. Secondly, the parables are our principal source of Christ's teaching. If you're going to teach the faith, you better teach Jesus Christ. a new world. In Canada, our parables are not kids' stuff. They are scandalously simple. I repeat, Christ's main way of teaching, number one, parables meant for all time. Secondly, the parables are our principal source of Christ's teaching. You better teach the faith. You better teach Jesus Christ. A new word.